The Fan on Demand.
It's the summer, so you know what that means. Bob McCowan's on vacation. It's a Monday, so you know what that means. I'm Jeff Blair, host of the Jeff Blair Show. I'm filling in for Bob, and we're taking your phone calls. See, even though there's a different host in here, we're still doing the phone calls thing. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. You want to call in, my Twitter handle is SN Jeff Blair, if you want to reach us on Twitter. Was trying to get a commentary ready for the show, and wanted to talk about the Jays and their payroll and some of the issues that emerged this weekend. Jays, of course, beating the Texas Rangers 2 of 3 games, and they will play the Boston Red Sox tonight, the first of a 4-game series. And the big story over the weekend emerged from a tweet by Bob Elliott, friend of this show, on Friday, where Bob Elliott tweeted that the Blue Jays had told teams that they couldn't take any payroll on at the trade deadline. Now, coupled with the fact that when Alex Anthopoulos tried to sign Irvin Santana spring training, the Jays players, 5 of them at least, agreed to defer money in order to get the contract done with Santana. I mean, understandably, the reaction to the tweet, well, let's just say it was something approaching a crap storm. This at a time where we're 10 days away from the July 31st trade deadline. And the immediate assumption is that Alex Anthopoulos' hands were tied, were being tied by ownership. Of course, ownership owns this station as well. That his hands were being tied by ownership, and that making a significant acquisition or a significant upgrade was going to be difficult for Alex Anthopoulos. And more to the point, I think a lot of people jumped to the conclusion that that meant that the Jays couldn't take on any salary for next year, which is ludicrous. The Jays, if they want, are in a position with option years and players to shave about $40 million off their payroll next year. I wrote about this on sportsnet.ca, my new column in sportsnet.ca. They're in a position to shave about $40 million off the payroll next year if they want. So the idea that they can't acquire anybody who makes a substantial amount of money next year is wrong. The amount of money a player makes next year does not count against this year's payroll. It's the same thing. I talked to Alex Anthopoulos, the Blue Jays general manager, just before the home opener, and I said, all right, so you had to ask the players to, or the players had to agree to defer money in order for you to get Irvin Santana. So I guess that means that you aren't going to sign Melky Cabrera or Colby Rasmus to an extension. He said no, because those contract extensions don't count against this year's contract. They count against next year's contract, and we've got room. So it stands to reason, because they aren't going to re-sign Colby or Melky, it stands to reason that they would be able to add somebody making a sizable amount of money next year if they so desired. Well, one of the players they could release, or one of the players they could refuse to give a contract to next year, was Sergio Santos. They have an option on Sergio Santos for $6 million next year. There is no way in hell. Sergio Santos, who was just designated for assignment today, he could go down and not give up a hit the rest of the year in AAA, and there's no way in hell the Jays are going to bring Sergio Santos back for $6 million. So it's hard. This DFAing of Sergio Santos, which is what we will talk about today, and we'll talk about the Jays' payroll and, frankly, whatever else you want to talk about, it doesn't really save the Jays a tremendous amount of money right now. It doesn't save them any. If he clears waivers, they'll send him down to the minor leagues. So it's not necessarily a cost-saving measure this year. But coming at a time where there has been some concern about the payroll and this team's ability to add money, it is an indication, I think, that there are a number of things in play here. I think Alex Anthopoulos is going to be forced to be creative. Do I think that Alex Anthopoulos could add $10 million to the payroll this year? No. Could he add two? Yes. You're going to say, what can he get for $2 million? Well, at the trade deadline, you're only paying a prorated portion of a player's contract. So in other words, if I make $6 million this year and you trade for me at the end of July, you're essentially picking up half of that, maybe $3 million. And if I want to throw in a player you like, or if as part of the deal, the team getting rid of that particular player gets a player that they like in return, a prospect, then maybe they'll pick up some money as well. So it's a little less draconian than simply saying the Jays can't add any money and automatically assuming that they're not going to add anybody who makes money next year. I mean, I would argue, far from it, if the Jays could find somebody who could address their second base situation next year, they would love to do that. They don't have to count for next year's salary right now. So keep that in mind as we approach the trade deadline and as you hear about, you know, payroll cutting. You won't hear about payroll cutting, but as you hear about the Jays not having an ability to add payroll, keep in mind that you're not talking about adding $10 million to a payroll. You're effectively talking about probably someplace in the neighborhood of $3 or $4 million. And I'll throw this out there as well before we get to the calls. When J.P. Ricciardi was general manager of this team, and it was owned by this company, it was owned by Rogers. Different president, though, Paul Godfrey instead of Paul Beeston. But when J.P. Ricciardi owned this or was general manager of this team, he always used to tell me, I think I can go to management in the course of the season and ask for more money. But I can do it once. I won't be able to go back twice. And he said, that's just the way business is done when you're owned by a publicly traded company. And he said, I'm not complaining about it. But he said, you have to pick your time. You have to call the shot. You have to pick your shot. You got one chance to make a case. And if the case is made, you can do it. So we'll talk about the Jays payroll, 416-870-0590, *591-888-660-590, or about the Jays, a big four-game series against the Red Sox. And I'll ask you a very simple question. You heard about the tweet from Bob Elliott. You saw Alex Anthopoulos do a pretty damn good job of tap dancing, I must say, yesterday. Does your gut tell you that the Blue Jays will make a significant acquisition at the trade deadline? 416-870-0590, *591-888-660-590. Rocky and Markham, you're on Primetime Sports. What's up, Rocky?
Hey, how are you doing? I missed you this morning, man.
You know what? I was sitting at home having a nice coffee. I mean, I missed you guys. I missed all my callers, but I really like sitting at home and having my coffee in the morning.
I hear you, but I'm just surprised about the Sergio Santos being designated. I think this is a move that the reason why Rasmussen has got called up is I think after this move, I think Aaron Sanchez will be the next player to get called up.
Oh, 100%. I'll tell you what, Rocky, I'll tell you right now, Aaron Sanchez will be with this team by the weekend.
Without question. And as for this team making a significant move, I'm not sure if they're going to make anything major or any splash, but I think they're going to make probably a couple of minor moves. Like I'm hearing that they're interested in DeNorfia because he's really good versus left-handed. And as for Chase Headley, I still have doubts with him, especially the way he's been playing these last couple of years. So I don't know if it's a good idea, but we'll just have to see what happens next, right? So,
no, look, I'm with you. Here's what I think will happen. Here's what I think will happen. We can forget Chase Utley or David Price. Tampa Bay. Folks, Tampa Bay, the other thing that happened this weekend is while we were sleeping, Tampa Bay and Boston got back in this. They're both 7.5 games out. They're only 4.5 games behind the Jays. So keep that in mind when you start talking about the Tampa Bay Rays wanting to back up the bus and move David Price. I think what the Jays are going to do is they're going to do most of their work after the trade deadline, just as the Pittsburgh Pirates did last year when they acquired Marlon Byrd, Justin Morneau, and John Buck. You can acquire a player in August, and as long as he's on your roster when the rosters expand, September, he's eligible for the postseason. And there will be a lot of players put through on waivers this year, on trade waivers, because there are players who just aren't going to be getting, well, first of all, every player usually goes through in waivers, but secondly, there are players who aren't going to be getting qualifying offers from their team next year, and they're going to be put on waivers. So in most instances, you're picking up that player for a player to be named later. And in most instances, it's not a top prospect. It's some middle-of-the-road prospect or maybe some the 25th man in your roster. I think that's where Alex Anthopoulos will do a lot of his heavy lifting, because I think he's I think his approach in this situation is, ideally, if you're Alex Anthopoulos, you'd like to come out of the trade deadline with another starting pitcher, a second baseman, bullpen help. You're not going to get all three. What you're going to see Alex Anthopoulos do, I think, is you're going to see Aaron Sanchez come up and help out of the bullpen. I think you're going to see Alex try to address the team's issues against left-handed pitching. A guy like Chris DeNorfi is a possibility. Same thing as Nolan Reimold was a possibility, or was here until he got hurt. You're going to see Alex try to do moves like that. Now, people keep throwing out Chase Utley, and this is the other thing. At the same time that we were running around wondering if the Jays had any, could add any payroll based on a report by Bob Elliott, we're also hearing from Ken Rosenthal and Jean-Paul Morosi, who are really wired in, that the Jays were continuing to pursue Chase Headley. He's got about $4 million left in his contract. That they were also talking, Nick Cafardo with the Boston Globe was also talking about the Jays being involved in the Chase Utley sweepstakes, or in trading for Chase Utley. And he's due a significant amount of money. So all I can tell you is I spoke to somebody at Rogers on the weekend. I asked point blank this Bob Elliott's tweet. Is there something to it? And the response was news to me. Shai Davidi of Sportsnet is at the Rogers Center. He's just come away from a news conference with Alex Anthopoulos, and Shai Davidi joins us in Primetime Sports. Hello, Shai.
Mr. Blair.
How are you?
I'm okay. What's going on?
Fun, hey? Hey?
Never a dull moment around here.
All right, what does Sergio Santos being DFA'd mean?
I think in the ideal world, they're giving him the Adam Lynn, Edwin Encarnacion treatment, where they send a guy down, give him a bit of a mental break from the big leagues, some time to regain his footing in the minor league setting, and hope that he can come back and contribute, which says to me that they're clearly confident that he's going to pass through waivers and not be claimed. And I wondered about that, if some team might take a chance on him, given what the prospect price was for the acquisition of Houston Street by the Angels.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems that they think he's going to get through waivers, and that as of Wednesday, once he clears, that he'll join the Bisons and try to get himself right.
So there's no savings to be had here, correct?
Well, if he gets claimed, there's some savings.
Right. But, yeah, I'm operating under the assumption that there is no general manager dumb enough to claim Sergio Santos. Jim Bowden's not in the league anymore, so.
You know what? I still wonder if somebody rolls the dice and says, you know what, it's roughly $2 million at this point, maybe mm-hmm. less, says, you know what, for that, maybe we'll save our prospects and hope we can catch lightning in the bottle. Or maybe they call the Blue Jays and say, hey, let's split the difference on this. Kind of like the Royals did last year with Emilio Bonifacio. You know, you get a need, you don't want to give up a lot.
Right.
And you decide to roll the dice. But the Blue Jays, Alex seemed very confident that he was going to get through waivers. And, you know, he was careful to talk about the process because he can't say very much about it. But the impression was left that he thinks he's going to get through and that the Blue Jays are going to try to rebuild him because, you know, let's be honest, they're going to need him. I mean, the fact that they're in the market for bullpen help and they're looking at Sanchez in a relief role is in a significant measure due to the fact that both he and Steve Dalbar struggled so much this season.
Well, and the other thing too, Shai, that they've got to make a call. His contract, he goes up to $6 million next year. So I think part of this is you've got to get a handle on what you have before you commit to that. You know, I don't think there's any way in hell, frankly, they do. But you've got to at least find out what you have here. And it's better off, you're better off sending him, frankly, to the minors and getting him away from everything. And if he, you know, this is like Ricky Romero. If he can't pitch down there, then it's entirely possible he's just lost it.
Yeah, it's very much so. And, you know, in terms of where he's going next, what you do with the option next year, I mean, if you have to spend that $6 million, I'd certainly rather give it to Casey Jansen than spend it on
Bingo.
Him. So, you know, if there's one guy in this bullpen who you absolutely need to find a way to get paid, it's Casey, because he's been such a pillar of stability for them over the last few years. And if anything, he's only getting better and more efficient. So you're right that's in the back of their minds. But I think right now it's a more a shorter-term thinking. It's like, how can we get Santos in a position to help us out this season?
Shai Davidi joins us on Primetime Sports live from the Rogers Center. The Jays and Boston Red Sox open a 4-game series tonight. You can catch the game at Sportsnet 590, The Fan, of course, on Sportsnet. Shai, we haven't had a chance to talk since this latest payroll story bubbled to the surface on Friday. What's your read on this? Because, you know, I don't, it's like anything else. I think the truth lies somewhere in between. That sounds like a horrible cop-out, but, you know, my understanding of the situation is, can Alex add a great whack of money this year? No. Does he have some room? Yeah. Would it be better if he could create more room by moving somebody? Yeah. But, you know, this idea that somehow Alex is completely hamstrung for next season, for example, is just not, it's not right.
Yeah, I mean, I had a conversation with a very, very well-placed source back in May. I ended up writing at the time about how it was going to be very difficult for the Blue Jays to make a trade. They were at their payroll max already, and that they might have to be in a position to move some money to take on some money of significance.
Mm-hmm.
And the next day, Alex came out and said, you know, I have the ability to have the conversation. And if you look at his wording, it's been very, very cautious, and that all along he has never... He's never left the impression that he has free reign.
Mm-hmm.
But the sense that I've gotten is that he may have one shot, you know, one roll of the dice that he could take to ownership and say, you know, this is the move I think puts us over the top. And I think it would have been a lot easier for him if the Blue Jays hadn't have had the June and mm-hmm. beginning of July that they have. It would have been, you go to ownership, you're like, yeah, the case is obvious. It's a lot less obvious right now because, you know, in a lot of ways, this is a, you know, they're kind of like a boat with you know, 7 holes and only 5 plugs right now, you know, and they're just kind of shifting things around trying to stay afloat. So is one move enough? Are 2 moves enough? Maybe if it's the right guy and, you know, the injury recovery break right. So I'm not so certain how much leeway he does have, but I think if ultimately there was something that he felt passionately and strongly about and he could make a good baseball and business case for, that he'd probably be able to pull it off.
Yeah, Alec, I agree with you totally, Shai. Shai, I'm going to let you run and do some writing and do more work. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, Jeff.
Take care. That is Shai Davidi of Sportsnet. You can read his dispatches on sportsnet.ca. And there really is no other place to get Blue Jays coverage in this city. I can tell you that. 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. My Twitter handle, it's a new one, is SN Jeff Blair. You want to reach out to us on Twitter? Feel free. Back to the phone lines. Why not? Ryan in Toronto. You're in Primetime Sports. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Jeff. How's it going?
Going well, my friend.
Missed you on your show this morning, but I caught you on Baseball Central at noon.
Thank you. For both.
So my question for you is, if Santos is getting sent down,
mm-hmm.
What moves do you see the Jays making besides all these rumors like Utley and David Price?
Well, I think Shai hit the nail on the head. Rob Rasmussen will be up here right now. Aaron Sanchez has pitched in two. He's made two relief appearances for Buffalo. Let's see how his arm responds after yesterday's relief appearance. My sense is he makes another relief appearance and then he joins his team in the weekend. You don't put Aaron Sanchez into the bullpen and give him 3 weeks to get ready. So I think it's kind of moot. I think Aaron Sanchez is up here by the weekend and he gives the Jays another power arm out of the bullpen, a power arm that has had trouble with his command, but a power arm that has, at least according to the scouting reports, improved dramatically since the Jays adjusted his arm angle. So that's where they're going with Aaron Sanchez. And I'll tell you what, I was thinking about this yesterday. I can honestly see between Aaron Sanchez joining the team, now you've seen Sergio Santos sent out, I can honestly see by the middle of August this team having three or four different relievers in its bullpen through Sanchez coming up. Well, three, four would be a lot. Through Sanchez coming up and maybe a couple of players that they, a couple of pitchers they acquire after the deadline. I think Alex Anthopoulos is probably focusing as much on remaking this bullpen on the fly as he is on adding another bat. Because this team has not hit well and its bullpen has slowly, slowly crumbled. It'll hit better when Encarnacion and Lind are back within 10 days, soon to be joined, knock on wood, by Brett Laurie. But there's nobody in the minors other than Sanchez that you can look at and say, this is a reliever that we bring up. He makes the team automatically better. So I'm expecting to see maybe a bat that can help the Jays against left-handed pitching. And a couple of arms for the bullpen. Gary in Toronto, you're on Primetime Sports. What's up, Gary?
What's up, Jeff?
How are you?
You know, you should start pulling seniority and taking control of your morning show.
Why?
I never turned on the AM dial this morning when I found out you weren't on.
But Jeff Sammet and George Russick are fine. You should give them a listen.
Jeff, bear with me here.
All right.
Okay, I just want to know why the Toronto Blue Jays were always shrouded in some sort of negativity, mystery, conflict, something. Okay, so let's go back a few years here, and just bear with me. I'm going to go through a few incidences.
Okay.
So you had Ted Lilly,
yes,
and then John Gibbons,
mm-hmm,
right? A few years back, 2009, you had in the J.P. Ricciardi era, I start sweating every time I say his name, but yeah, the J.P. Ricciardi era and the B.J. Ryan incident. I think it was 2009, August of 2009, and somebody was covering up injuries or something like that. And
injury in spring training that the Jays covered up, and J.P.'s famous line was, "It's not lying lying if we know what the truth is," or something like that.
There's that.
Yeah.
And then there was the whole Roy Halladay fiasco. Secretly behind closed doors, he wanted out. Blah 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 blah. Okay, so that happened. We got pretty much nothing back in return. We don't know what's going on with Drebeck. And then there's been the whole thing when Mr. Came from Boston. I don't want to say his name because I start sweating again when I say his name. And apparently he always had one foot out the door, one foot in the door, one foot out the door, one foot in the door.
Yeah, he had one foot out the door. I can tell you, he had one foot out the door about 2 weeks after the season started. So it stayed out there. Go ahead.
So Alex redeems himself, makes a trade for Burley and the Dickey trade, all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
He redeems himself. We have a disaster year last year. And then you start hearing about, guys weren't gelling. The World Baseball Classic got in the way. This got in the way. And now this year you hear about, in the offseason, we got money to spend, but we're not going to spend it on anybody, even though most prognosticators predicted we were going to be in last place. And now you start hearing about, hold on. For like the last 6 weeks, we've heard about, Jays are in contention for this guy, this guy, this guy, this guy. And a really, really well-respected guy comes out and says, hold on a second, that's not what I'm hearing. And then thank you for doing your column and clearing the air and saying, you know what, they can take on a little bit of salary. Why is this team always... like, I don't live in all the other MLB cities. Why is this team all the time, when the weather gets hot and it's muggy and sticky in Toronto, why does this team always come up with some sort of controversy? Why can't we just have a season where things were ho-hum or ho-good or whatever it was? And why is there something? There's no curse of the Blue Jays, I don't think. I hope not. But why? Why is it there's always something going on? Why?
Yeah,
I can't figure it out.
Gary, a lot of it just comes to the fact that it's a team. Well, let's start. It's a team that hasn't won anything since 1992, 1993. And if Kansas City makes the playoffs this year, guess who's got the longest postseason drought in baseball? So it's a team that hasn't won anything since 1992, 93. It's a team that hasn't drafted very well. It's a team that hasn't developed its own pitchers almost at all. And it's a team that so far, and I'm thinking back to, I'm thinking back to the start of the J.P. Ricciardi era. It's a team that has gone in it all in at times, and it just hasn't worked out. Now, we can talk about J.P. Ricciardi, the Jays. If you think back to the year Vernon Wells signed his contract, the Jays received a lot of money from ownership, and the idea was, let's go pursue some pitching. Well, that fell apart, and it was almost as if, and I cover this in my book, Full Count, it was almost as if the Jays had that money sitting there in their hand. What are we going to do with it? Hey, I know. Let's talk to Vernon Wells about a contract. The Jays went all in on A.J. Burnett and B.J. Ryan. And at the time, B.J. Ryan's contract offer was just absolutely hammered by everybody in baseball. But I think J.P. Ricciardi thought, you know what? I've got money to spend. There's a premium to getting guys free agents in Toronto. I'm going to take a run at this thing right now. You know, in A.J. Burnett, people whine and moan about A.J. Burnett, but A.J. Burnett wasn't the colossal disaster everybody thinks he was. Last year, Alex Anthopoulos makes his big move. And let's talk about that move. The reason the Jays and the Marlins started talking was because Alex Anthopoulos wanted Josh Johnson. That was the beginning of the discussion. Alex didn't approach the Marlins saying, hey, give me these six guys, I'll give you these four guys. Alex approached them about Josh Johnson, a guy he tried to trade for earlier during the season, a guy he really liked, and a guy who may never pitch in baseball again. The Jays have not always had their big plays work out. And that's looking back at Alex's trade last year. Do I do it? Probably. The prospects that Alex gave up were not, and we're talking about the Burley trade, the prospects that Alex gave up, none of them are going to help the Blue Jays win this year. None of them are going to bring the Blue Jays any closer to being in the playoffs. R.A. Dickey, that deal for Travis d'Arnaud and Noah Syndergaard. I don't know if Noah Syndergaard is ever going to be the pitcher a lot of people think he'll be. That might be one deal that I'd like a redo on. So it's a long way of saying that the Jays have gone all in probably since 2001. I would say they've quote unquote gone all in maybe three times. And it hasn't worked out. The common thread through all of that, and we'll get to your calls, don't worry, but the common thread through all of that has been this organization's inability to draft impact players and this organization's inability to develop impact starting pitchers. Adam Lind, is the homegrown guy in this roster. A guy drafted and developed by the organization. Marcus Stroman is a pitcher who was drafted and developed by this organization. Drew Hutchison is a pitcher who was drafted and developed by this organization. Aaron Sanchez, if he makes it, will be a guy who was drafted and developed by the organization. Casey Jansen is another guy drafted and developed by the organization. But folks, that's about it. And that's the common thread. The common thread has been, in my opinion, poor drafting and, if not poor scouting, then non-impactful scouting. That's the thread that explains a lot that has gone on. Let's go to Angelo in Woodbridge. You're on Primetime Sports.
I'm very upset that you're talking about Melky being traded.
I'm not.
Like it's a foregone conclusion.
I'm not saying he's being traded. I've never said he's being traded.
Oh, then I misunderstood you.
Yeah,
you
never.
You said Melky and Colby.
Yeah, they're gone at the end of the year.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah.
The kids are free trade. They could go on their own.
Yeah.
But don't you think we should be going after Melky?
Well, I've said that if it was me, I would have tried to get Melky signed to a contract extension by now.
Yes.
But Melky might end up getting $12 or $13 million as a free agent. And he might get 3 years from some team because there's just not a lot of good free agent outfielders out there this year. It sucks. There's a lot of bad, bad, bad players who are going to be free agents. And Melky's having a good year.
Another reason why they gave up Rajai Davis. That I never understood.
Well, Rajai Davis is going to be a bench player in this team, Angela. I mean, he is. He's, people like him because he steals bases and fast and is fast and looks like he tries hard. But he's not a very good defender. And would he look good now? Yeah. But I'm sorry, Rajai Davis isn't making the Blue Jays a better team this year. He's just not. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. Back with more of your calls. This is Primetime Sports and the Fan Radio and Television Network.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca.
Welcome back to Primetime Sports. I forgot to tell you. Ken Reed of Sportsnet will be my co-host at 5 o'clock. Totally slipped my mind. Claude Loisel, the assistant general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, will join us at 5:15. They avoided arbitration with Cody Franzen today in a one-year deal worth $3.3 million. And John Gallagher of the Detroit Free Press is going to join us at 5:40. It's very cool. And I'm going to direct you, my column on sportsnet.ca, there's a link on it to the new arena that is being built in downtown Detroit, part of an entertainment complex. And, we're going to get into the whole issue of why the hell a city that's turning people's water off and has sinkholes in almost every neighborhood street, why it's spending money on a $1.8 billion entertainment sports facility for a guy, Mike Gillich, who's worth $4 million. But we'll get into that. But also, take a look at the arena. I mean, the arena looks spectacular. It really does. It looks tremendous. So that'll be our schedule, the 5 o'clock hour. And at 6:15, John Waro of the Associated Press is going to join us. The Bills could end up with Canadian ownership. But it'll be Canadian ownership that will keep the team in Buffalo. So we'll talk to John Waro about that. It has been confirmed that John Bon Jovi is part of a Toronto-based group. Edward Rogers, of course, the Rogers family. Larry Tannenbaum, also interested. And according to initial reports from John Waro, the group would like to keep the team in Buffalo. So we'll deal with that as well. We'll go back to your phone calls right now at 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. We're talking about the Blue Jays in particular. We'll talk about anything, though. They'll let us talk about anything for the most part. The Blue Jays designated Sergio Santos for assignment today. Alex Anthopoulos believing he'll go through waivers, hoping that they can send him down to AAA to get his act together. Well, actually, what Alex Anthopoulos wouldn't say is he desperately, desperately would love somebody to claim Sergio Santos so he wouldn't have to pay the remainder of his contract. But I just said, I don't think there's a general manager out there stupid enough to do it because Jim Bowden isn't in the game anymore. I can't believe I said that once, let alone twice. Bob in Toronto. You're on Primetime Sports. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Bob. Big fan of the show.
I'm not Bob. I'm Jeff,
sorry,
but that's okay.
Jeff, sorry.
Thank you.
Big fan of yours. Like I was talking to your producer, I just wanted to get your opinion on, with everyone talking about deals that need to be made done, and then also on Tim and Sid, I forgot who Tim was talking to, but they're saying how Alex, in the end, would probably prefer to be a scout. So I just wanted to know if, after the whole Marlins trade, which, you know, every GM probably would have done anyway, but because it hasn't worked to the expectation that Alex and ownership had in mind, do you see that he's a little bit more hesitant in making big deals like that? Or is it just there's really nothing that's out there for Alex in regards to what he's willing to offer up in comparison to what he wants in return?
I think there are a couple of things at work here. First of all, I don't think it's got anything to do with the Marlins deal. I think it's got everything to do with getting rid of or moving out your top two prospects in Travis d'Arnaud and Noah Syndergaard for Ari Dickey. That to me is the crux of this. I mean, the guys that they got rid of, the guys they sent to the Marlins for Mark Burley and Jose Reyes, they weren't going to have a major impact on the team. Maybe Henderson Alvarez, but by and large, they weren't going to have an impact on the team. And Mark Burley has been their best pitcher from start to finish right now, or start from the start of the year till now. He's their most consistent, although his recent results haven't been all that good. And I mean, Jose Reyes is, at times, has been an impact player in this team. Has he had the impact that we expected? No. But, you know, that deal, I think you do again. I'm not certain you do the R.A. Dickey deal. I don't think Alex is gun-shy. I threw this out on Twitter on, it was either Saturday or Sunday, and of course, you know, got savaged for it. But it's entirely possible that one of the reasons Alex hasn't been able to make a major deal is people just don't think his prospects are as good as people around here seem to think they are. I said to somebody, you know, your prospects are only worth what another general manager will give you. And if people say, well, wait a minute, what do you mean? I mean, so-and-so's got Aaron Sanchez ranked so-and-so, or he's out of the rating. So-and-so's got, got Daniel Norris ranked here and Dalton Pompey ranked here. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what I think of a prospect. Doesn't matter what Baseball America thinks of a prospect. Doesn't even matter what Alex Anthopoulos thinks of a prospect that he has. It's what the other general manager thinks. The other general manager goes, Alex, Dalton Pompey, he's at best a fourth outfielder. Doesn't matter what anybody else says. If he's at best a fourth outfielder, you're not going to get a huge amount in return for him. And I think that's part of the deal here. And again, this is an organization that hasn't had a great deal of success with its prospects. So you know what? It's entirely possible that their prospects aren't as good as we think they are. I mean, there's such a thing as prospect porn. And I think we get a lot of it in this city. I'm not saying that I know for certain that that Aaron Sanchez and Daniel Norris and Dalton Pompey aren't going to be any good. I don't. Nobody else does either. You know, but people say, well, you know, Alex should have made a move. I had one guy on Twitter. Alex should have made a move earlier in the year when the prospects were ranked higher. No, doesn't matter what some guy in an office writing for some publication says. You know, well, Aaron Sanchez is he's gone from being the 23rd ranked player in the top 50 to the 45th. Doesn't matter. It's what the guy you're dealing with will give you. Like, that part's not that complicated. And I think, frankly, that it gets back to the fact that this organization hasn't drafted and developed well for about a decade. Joe and Moose Jaw, you're on Primetime Sports.
Hi, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Good, man.
First time caller.
Thank you.
Love the
and
show,
welcome.
And sorry?
Thank you and welcome.
Great. I just want to make a comment. You were stressing the importance of getting some relief help, and you mentioned something about Aaron Sanchez. After all the injuries and watching how the Jays performed against left-handed pitching lately, I was wondering, in my opinion, I think their greatest need would be another right-handed bat or a switch hitter that can be in the middle of the lineup somewhere. And also, second question is, when we were on our huge streak there, we had Anthony Gose and Colby Rasmus is on the injured reserve list.
Mm-hmm.
The way that Anthony performed at that point in time, I thought it added something to our club. And since Colby's returned, I don't think his return was significant enough. Is there a market for Colby Rasmus?
God, no.
And, yeah.
He's a free agent at the end of the year.
With injuries, you don't think somebody would take a ticket on him?
No. You know, here's the thing. People have to remember, teams don't want to take on a project at the trade deadline. Teams aren't going to take on Colby Rasmus and think, well, maybe we can reinvent the wheel. Not if they're a contending team, they're not. They got no time for that. That's why people talk about Chase Headley joining the Blue Jays. I don't want Chase Headley. I don't want a guy that my hitting coach is going to have to spend 15 and a half hours a day trying to figure out. If he can't give me a guy who can hit the ground running and do something for me offensively, screw it. As for Anthony Gose, when Anthony Gose and Kevin Pillar were both here, the Jays were playing well. Colby Rasmus came back, and by that point, frankly, Anthony Gose had essentially, Anthony Gose had gone back to doing the stuff that Anthony Gose used to do that made it difficult for the Blue Jays to keep him up here. He started swinging at bad pitches. He just stopped doing all those little things. Still a great defender, but he stopped doing all those little things. He didn't do enough. And in fairness to Colby Rasmus was always going to be a starter when he returned because he started the season as a starter. But Anthony Gose couldn't even do enough to stick around as a bench player. The middle of the bat, middle of the order bat, you're going to have Edwin and Adam Lind back and Brett Laurie back. What do you do with the middle of the order bat then? You've already got Jose Bautista. Ideally, the position player the Jays would want is a switch hitting or a right hand hitting second baseman. But other than that, John, you're on Primetime Sports.
Good afternoon, Jeff. I'm glad you brought up the Miami trade because I was listening last year and Dave Perkins was the only commentator on your station that I heard who I thought made a very salient point when the trade was announced. He said, if they don't win within a year or two, Jose Reyes's contract, I believe he makes $22 million a year.
Yep, for the next 3 years after this year.
It's going to be an anchor on the Blue Jays for years and years. I don't think anyone's ever going to take him. And at the moment, he's on the downside of his career. He's a very average player. So I think in retrospect, it wasn't the people he traded for, it was value for money, which is basically what Moneyball's about. And I think at $41 million, which is what Burley and Reyes make, I would rather have had Echeverria and Henderson Alvarez. At, $3 million a year they make? They're not even arbitration eligible, so I'm sure they don't make more than $3, $4 million combined.
I'll tell you what, would Henderson Alvarez and Adani Echeverria made me feel better about my chances winning next year? No. And that's what that deal was about. That deal was about creating a window of opportunity. And Dave was right. And other people pointed that out too. The back end of this contract is $22 million a year for a shortstop, a position where guys usually diminish as they get older. Jose Reyes won't be the Jays shortstop at the end of that contract. He'll either be out of here or he'll be playing second base. But he will not be the Blue Jays shortstop. And that's a great point, though. It's a tough contract to move. Ken Reed joins us. We're going to talk a little hockey, a little arena, all sorts of stuff. It's Primetime Sports.